Choice that each one of you has made in coming together this time. By now, I know you are a little more comfortable in giving gratitude, rather than having those thoughts of asking. I feel each one of you is now beginning to understand the energy behind the word. Would you agree with me? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There is so much in your lives for you to give thanks for. But you have taken but one step closer to that force of which you are part. As your awareness grows, so too will your understanding of your own lives. You will not doubt my words when I say to you, my dear friends, that what you call heaven is also part of your existence here, and not something that you should strive for outwardly. Do you understand my words?
Yes.
Yes, I think I think your meaning might be living with a strong soul connection.
Yes, because with the all-knowing comes the pathway that indeed heaven, as you call it, and that is your earthly word for God connection. Yes, heaven already exists, but it is up to each one of you to become aware of it here and now. After all, I will use an earthly word again. That is what you strive for. May I say this to you? Why strive when you already have the knowledge? I pause there in order that you digest the meaning of those two words. Would anyone like to comment?
I think where some of us fall down is thinking that heaven
can be achieved with certain material things, whereas it's a state of mind, I think, we're saying.
It is not just a state of mind. It is the all-knowing part of you that already exists. Do you see the difference? Each one of you on this earth, except for the ones you call masters of seeking, strive for what you call spirituality or searching for the God energy. What I tell you this time, my dear friends, there is no need to strive, because you already have that knowledge within. All too often we hear it said that only the masters in your world understand what it is like to be part of that all-encompassing energy. So many times we hear that is why they put to one side all material areas of their lives. I say to you, it is not so much that they place to one side. They do not suffer because of it, but it is because their awareness is such that they know all material goods or neglect of these things lead them to the energy from which we all come. I say to you, my dear friends, that each one of you has this awareness, but it is up to you to bring it forth in order that it may be used.
Perhaps it could be said that the striving comes in bringing it forward.
That would be the only correct use of that way of thinking. We could use it in that context, yes, but you should not strive to seek what you already know. You should not strive to find what you already have. You should not strive to understand who and what you are, because all is already known to you. Can you see where I am leading you, my dear friends? We must take small steps in your understanding of what you are and what you seek. And again, the word seek is one of your earthly ones for your understanding.
So if we manage to attain this awareness, is it something that we can then continue, as opposed to a state of mind which is a bit transitory? This knowing, this inner knowing, is more permanent. We can live it through our daily lives.
This inner knowing continues throughout all of your existence. It is this all-knowing that you need to find whilst on this earth. We have spoken briefly that it is not so much that you need to seek yourselves as to return to what you already know. Last time I spoke about that awareness growing within you. We cannot go too quickly, because what I am telling you now has taken many of your years to reach this point for your understanding. It is important that each one of you takes in and understands each step as we go forward. Each of you, as you know, are at different steps of your own growth. Therefore, it is important that you understand my words as we go slowly. If you have questions or doubts, and remember when first I came to you, I told you if any of my words were to sit with you uncomfortably, then you must let them go until such time as the realization comes that what I bring to you is truth. Questions you would wish to ask?
No, I've just observed that the way you taught us, it's rather like a natural process, like the opening of a flower. Or when the flower is fully open, there is all knowing.
I like your description
very much. To be able to read them again and again.
And think of the beautiful flower that is opening. Remember how many veins within one petal. And then you may have some idea of how much there is to understand before you reach the middle of the beautiful flower. That is why we must go slowly, slowly. I could, of course, bombard your minds with many things, much that you would not understand. But what would be the purpose? As we go slowly, each detail will become clearer to you. And this I see as time continues. I see your light so much clearly from when I first came to you. I only wish that each one of you could look at all of the others and see how brightly you all shine. I am am sure you are aware of how many situations each one of you has encountered and given food for thought to others. I would like to say to you that each one of you, my dear friends, are seekers of truth. But this you already know. But there are many types of seeking. And when I call you seekers of truth, I believe I am right in saying that you are seekers of the one truth. Perhaps I could compare you to one in your religious book known to most people and whose name was Moses. He was but a seeker of truth. He was the one who introduced in that religious book what you term commandments. I would like to say to you this time, and it may surprise you, or at this time in your growth it may not, that as a seeker of truth, he brought many words to many people. I think you would not disagree with that. But what I would say to you, my dear friends, that the words that he brought to this world were not commandments. That great creative force does not command, but issued forth words that should have been commitments. I would like you to ponder those words this time, and perhaps when next we meet, we will discuss what you think I mean. Would anyone like to comment briefly?
Anyone?
So we are thinking of the what we might call the Ten Commitments as a pattern for living.
I would feel more comfortable with that, yes. Of course, 10 is but a number. There were many words given that were to enable mankind to seek out the truth that already existed, but which mankind at that time in your history needed to hear.
Yes, it's just that 10 of those commitments were written into the book,
yes,
as commandments.
And named as commandments. I would say but one thing. Why would the creative force, who is all-knowing, and we are part of that creative force, why would he need to command part of himself? That is what I wish you to think about.
see what you mean to think about. If the knowing is in us, why did we need to be told?
That is for each one to ponder. I feel that it is time I have said enough on that, but I will give you the opportunity, my dear friends, to speak, and we will discuss it next time. Are there any questions for me?
I can hardly talk. I hope you can understand me. I've got a cold. I was reading from a spiritual master called Seth, that said that in spirit worlds there is a belief that there is never an excuse for violence. And I thought about those words with the war that's going on at the moment. I was wondering if you could confirm that that really is the truth, that there is no excuse for violence under any circumstances.
Firstly, let me say this to you, that when placed upon this earth, each one was given free will, free choice. How your world is at this present time is because of the actions of each one of you, the thoughts and actions of each one. Now I hear you say, but we do not want war, we do not wish this, we do not want that. But it remains that because of the way mankind has gone forward, he has created for himself all of the existence of these problems on your planet. Mankind has to accept responsibility for the state of the Earth planet at this time. The great creative force, and so often we hear, why does he not step in to prevent these, what you call, disasters and wars? Why should the creative force do so? You have been given free will. You are responsible, even if that responsibility lays heavily upon you. The creative force has given each one of you the answer. It is simple. Mankind needs to go inwards and to speak to his brother gently and with kindness. But that great creative force has to stand by and see those images of himself take into his own hearts and minds all of the destruction which happens upon this planet. You each have the answer within you. But I have to say, my dear friends, that mankind, on the whole, has ignored what he knows. Remember that consciously mankind might justify his wars, but deep within he knows the answer. I hope that has answered your question, my dear friend.
That was a wonderful answer. Thank you very much.
Yes, could I go back to the stone circles that we have talked about before? And you said there was religion connection and energy connection.
Yes.
I have thought further about that, and I'm wondering if it will be correct to see them as sun temples, where in past times, in ceremony, people recognized and welcomed the spiritual energy of the sun and its connection to nature.
You speak of the spiritual sun, or are you speaking of the physical sun?
I speak of the spiritual sun.
Yes, thank you. I am pleased to hear you speak of such. Always there has been connection with mankind on this planet. This planet was endowed with many energies. Energies from all aspects of this earth. When you speak of the spiritual sun, that is what belongs to spirit. And it is the spiritual sun which encompasses all things in what you term your earthly nature. In storms, in water, in trees, in all of existence. Many of these storms upon your earth hold many mysteries not yet unfolded. When I came to you first, did I not tell you that much had still to be discovered? Gradually, mankind's awareness is becoming raised in many areas of living. Yes, the spiritual sun is imbued on all of these things and in many places upon your planet. Without that spiritual sun, this planet would not exist. It is a simple statement, but one that is so true. Mankind could not exist without the spiritual sun. Within each one of you exists a counterpart of the spiritual sun. Within each one of you, within that heart area, there is a spiritual sun which shines forth for others to see. You are but small rays of spiritual sun. Do you understand?
Yes, that fits with, I think it was the practice of the early North American or South American Indians to begin the day by facing the sun and, in a sense, taking in or breathing in the spiritual essence of the sun, and then breathing out to spread that spirit to humanity. I think this was a practice in ancient times, and that would make sense.
Do you not see that this practice still exists? It exists within this room each time you meet. Have you not been aware of the change of breath when you are going deep within?
Yes.
What is that if it is not the spiritual sun? It has become lost in the passage of time. But it is not exclusive to the race of which you speak. It is mankind's right to know of the spiritual sun. It is just another way of connection to that creative force.
Yes. And it's not surprising that religious ceremony in past times has been built around this.
Again, I say to you, so much over your earthly time has been lost. But that is our purpose in returning at this time. That for once the truth will not be denied. That awareness will grow. That each individual will find himself. Will find himself to be the spark of all creation. That is our task in teaching you, that the truth will be upheld. I know at this time upon your earth there are many troubles. But keep in mind my words to you, that in time to come, this will become indeed a heaven on earth. But mankind needs to be awakened to this fact. I will leave you this time, my dear friends. As always, I give thanks for your time and your efforts to come to listen to my few words. If only you could know how much joy it gives us in our world to see you grow.
Equally it gives us joy, I must say, to listen to your teaching.
As always, I feel humbled by your words. I will leave you now until next to me meet. I will leave you gives much to each of you. And I am sure you give your thanks for her.
It's a great pleasure to have the meeting in the house. Didn't meet again.